Well, good morning. It is good to be with you this morning. As Josh said, Pastor Wes is away today at the pastor's conference. I'm going to be filling in with him, or filling in for him. I am not a pastor. I'm just a lay person and a Bible study teacher here at Central Family Worship Center. This is actually my very first time sharing a message from the pulpit. I consider it a high responsibility. And I'm fully trusting in the Holy Spirit to bring God's word to you today. However, I'm still a little nervous. Okay. I know some of you rather well, but many of you I only know from shaking your hand at the door on Sunday morning. And you might only know me as that guy who does announcements up here. Well, it is wise to know the background of and the personal faith of anyone who's going to present from the pulpit. So let me take a few minutes here to share those with you. I'm from the small town of Edwardsburg, Michigan, about an hour and a half south of here. That's where I grew up. I was raised by a Bible-believing, devout Christian family. And in my elementary years, I formally accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I was baptized on an Easter Sunday at Winding Waters Brethren Church in Elkhart, Indiana. My fourth, fifth grade Sunday school teacher, Mrs. Jane Solomon, she was an important part of instilling in me a lifelong love of the Bible. I consider it a great privilege and responsibility to be able to follow in her footsteps and teach the Bible and have for the past 25 years in the various churches we've attended. My wife Lindsay and I moved to Coopersville about 19 years ago. With our two sons, Griffin and Paxton. Our third son, McAllister, who was up here earlier today, he came along, and then our daughter, Lucia, as well. She's back in the nursery. They all keep us on our toes. We've been members here at Central Family Worship Center for about 11 years, I think. In those 11 years, I've been helping with the children's ministry through the Royal Rangers program, which then led into a Sunday morning Bible study, for our high school boys and their fathers. We meet at 8:30 most every Sunday. We'd love to have you come check us out. It's a great time. In our class, we've cycled every 2 years walking through the student Bible from Zondervan. And mine's kind of fallen apart. It's a paper copy, well marked up. But in it is a list of the 100 people you should know, biblical people. And as we study those 100 biblical people, starting in Genesis, we always look to the big picture view of God's plan for our salvation through Jesus Christ. And then we zoom in each week to see how the person we are studying fits into God's plan and then how their experiences can speak to our lives today. So today what I'd like to do is I'm going to do just a rapid sort of 30,000 foot view of the Bible, the entire Bible, and that plan of salvation. The boys, reluctantly, maybe, decided to help me with some of the verses and visuals, but I know they're going to do a great job. I am a visual learner. I love to tear into things, see how they work, and that's perhaps why I pursued a career in engineering. So we're going to start out a little bit different, a little unusual. I'm going to ask the boys to come on up here and set up a couple of props. So we've got Quinn and Desmond. You may not know these guys. They actually come all the way here from Spring Lake just for our Bible study. And then they actually go back to their family service. So today they're joining us for the service to kind of help out. Thanks, guys. So while they're setting this up, I'm going to share a little bit about my family's renovation project we're in right now. It's been consuming a lot of us. We live in a house just down the street here. It was built in 1907. It's a well-built home. But sometime in the past, the foundation of the house had settled. Now, there's a chimney in the middle of the house, and it didn't settle. So it's right in the middle, which has caused the floors and the ceilings to kind of bow up, or rather dip away from the chimney. So we have cracked walls, the cracked ceilings, the plaster have broken. And so when your foundation moves, your house will begin to separate. Well, when we first moved into the home 19 years ago, we removed a dry-rotted central beam in our basement, and we corrected much of the shifting house. And it seems ever since then, we've had a solid foundation, and it appears we've stopped the slide. Well, this past Thanksgiving, we decided to set the floors and the ceilings back to level. But how do you start when nothing's level? How do you know what's true? What can you trust to begin to correct an uneven home? Well, you need a reference to rely on. You need to know that straight line of level and truth. And that's what this is. This is a construction laser. Thanks, guys, for setting that up. This is a device that emits a laser beam of light. So I'm going to turn it on here. And what it does is it actually starts to level. The mechanism inside this, regardless of how this tripod's set up, it will level. It will find true level, regardless how you set it up. And then it creates a point of light, a laser light, and then once it's level, it starts spinning. Now, with all of the bright lights in here and the distractions of these lights, you really can't see that laser. So that's what this device is for. This is called a rod eye, and it's on a staff here. And it tells you, I'm not going to turn it on, it's kind of loud. And actually, this one is no longer working, but the laser works well. So this, you move this up, it will tell you kind of with beeps and a signal here, are you on the laser line or not? And it tells you if you're maybe filling dirt, do you need to add dirt or remove dirt to get to the level course you want to get to? So it helps you. So this staff or this measuring rod tells you exactly what you need to do to be on that straight line. Griffin actually used this laser here to level the ceiling over here in the fellowship hall. So if you take a look at that when you walk out, you can just see it's pretty true now. So he did a nice job. But we needed to trust this level to repair our home. We needed to know that it, in fact, was working and accurate. Imagine if it wasn't, and we rebuilt to true level only to find we made things worse. So how do you check it? Well, I worked for a company that actually produced this laser. In fact, this one's an early prototype that I saved from being thrown out. I knew the engineers that designed this laser. They explained to me through blueprints and engineering documents how it worked from the inside out. I then took what they taught me and set up an assembly line. That was my job to do, and we produced thousands of these. I'm very familiar with this instrument. And then there's a way to calibrate this laser using only itself. Even on an uneven surface, without knowing true level, you can calibrate this to find true level. Similar to the method of checking a carpenter's level. I don't know if you've ever looked at a carpenter's level, and as long as you rotate it 180 and the bubble's in the same spot that it was in the previous, you know you've got a true level, even if the ground you're on's not. Well, by making marks on the wall, if we made a mark on the wall, and then we rotate this 180 from there, and if that mark on the wall is in the same spot, you know this axis of the laser is level. And then if you move it 90 degrees, and it's on the same mark, and 270, it's going to be true. Now there's a few other things you need to do, a couple other movements, but that's kind of the gist of it. Using just the laser itself, you can tell whether it is in fact true. So for the past few months, we've leveled the floors and the ceilings in the house. And we have a home that is once again sitting straight and true, and it's hopefully on a firm foundation now. We are still in what seems like a never-ending project, though. We're in the finishing steps, getting the finishing touches put on the trim, but it should be wrapped up soon. Well, perhaps you can see where I'm heading with this laser foundation analogy. Or maybe you're sort of like my sister-in-law. She purchased a shirt for me that says, "The definition of an engineer. Someone who gets excited about things that no one else cares about." She might be streaming with us now. Whitney, that one was for you. All right. I hope you can sense I'm a little excited, okay? I am excited about things like this, technology. But I think God was a carpenter. You know, Jesus was a carpenter. I think he'd appreciated this level when he was building, right? Or maybe he just sensed it. Maybe he had that laser eye. Okay. Well, hopefully you can get excited about today's message, which I've titled Trusting God's Rod Eye for Building Our Foundation. Nate, would you come on up here and please pray for the message?
Good morning. Dear Lord, thank you for this day today. Would you please just bless Mr. Harness and bless the message and let us all understand. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Nate. So, if you guys could also set up, we're going to set up another visual here. I like props here. This is helping me out here. And while they're setting this up, I do want to talk about the Bible itself. It's a collection of 66 books, 66 separate books. There are 39 in the Old Testament, written by dozens of authors from over 3,600 years of history. There's 27 in the New Testament, written by 8 authors over a period of less than 80 years. These books are considered the Holy Scriptures, or sometimes considered canonical writings, or belonging to the canon. Have you ever heard that term before, the canon? Yeah. All right. Well, the word canon, spelled C-A-N-O-N, it goes back to the Greek word canon, spelled K-A-N-O-N, not too far away. And then it goes back to the Hebrew word quene, which means reed, or our English word cane. So if you think of a cane or a staff or a rod, often a cane or a rod would be used to measure things like a measuring stick. Think also of a shepherd's staff. Think of Psalm 23. It says, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Well, a shepherd would use that rod to maybe nudge the sheep, prod the sheep a little bit, keep them on the straight path, maybe a good whack once in a while to keep those sheep in line, correcting them, getting them to their safe passage at the next pasture. The shepherd would also use that for defending against predators. So that staff would be fight off the bears or the wolves or the lions that might come. So as these guys are setting this up, we do have a scripture to read here. 2 Timothy 3:16. Des, would you come on up for that scripture? Yeah, just pull it on back. There we go. Got some logistics here. If you're streaming with us on there, I'm not sure if you're going to be able to see all this, but we'll kind of get you through it here. So, all right, go ahead. Yep, go ahead and set it up. So our first scripture here.
All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
All right, thank you. So we're to use the word to be our rod eye, correcting our buildings, correcting the building as we establish our spiritual house, our church, even our nation. Okay, so we're preparing for our flyover of the Bible. Just pull these in a little bit. Good. So this is going to be it's a bit of a huge flight map that we're going to use here. I understand you guys can't really see everything that's on here or the details. That's not super important at the moment. I'll leave it up after service. You can take a look at it later if you'd like to. But this is the map of history. It was created by Sebastian C. Adams, published in 1878 after a lifetime of research. It's a timeline from the very beginning, starting with Adam down here, up until the present of 1878. So there's like two panels missing now. We've moved beyond that. It outlines the lifespans of individuals, of kingdoms, of countries, of churches, all through these drawn lines, and all through the lens of Scripture. In the boys' Bible study, I like to continually zoom in and zoom out on the plan of salvation and this line of history to show what we are studying and that it is relevant to us today. So let's buckle up. Let's take a flight. I've got a series of cards here, and we're going to show these. And when we get to the end of those cards, we're going to be done. All right? So the first one here, we start here with Adam. This is Adam and Eve. This is when the Bible says we have Adam started. He was here. Well, Adam was made in God's image. It's pretty exciting that we're creative, right? We have the ability to choose right and wrong. We have a free will, which allows us to truly love, and we can love God. Of course, we know that they also chose to fall away from God. It's called the fall. And so as man fell, as that sin came into the world, it was corrupted. But God forgave them. They came back to him, and he covered them with skins as a way to provide a sacrifice for what they did. They were covered with those skins, and that was showing eventually the ultimate skin that would come, the ultimate sacrifice in Jesus Christ. Well, we go along a little bit further from Adam and Eve, and they populate the world. They do what they were told to do, be fruitful and multiply. And so this goes all the way down through here, and you can see it comes all the way here to Noah, and you guys know Noah. You've heard the story many times. Some of you might say, well, God, why don't you just wipe everybody out on the earth that doesn't love you? Those that aren't following your will. Just do that. Let's just get rid of the evil. It's going to be so much better if you just wipe the place clean. Well, he did it. He showed that doesn't work. He baptized the entire earth in water, and yet Noah, a righteous man who spent 100 years building that ark, still sinned. His kids sinned. Sin was back in. It's just a nature of us. But it wasn't a surprise to God. God sees the entirety of history. He's not here starting. He was out there as far as that direction goes. And he'll be that direction as far as it goes. This is just a small little portion that he put together for us. It was his plan of salvation to bring you close to him. And so with Noah, that wasn't the solution. So Noah's family populates the world. They begin to grow. So we have Noah here. And then eventually, Noah's descendants come up here, and one of them is Abraham. So Abram, called Abraham, he was a devout man, just a guy, and God called him out and said, hey, I want you to follow me. I'm going to give you a land to go to, and I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you a great nation, and all people will be blessed through you. And this was a man that didn't have any kids yet. His wife was barren. He used just a miracle to bring a child into their life, and he started a full nation. And he said, I'm going to bless you through that. So to build a nation, you need people. You need a unique culture and laws, and you need land. And so God was building that plan. So we have Abraham here. Well, Abraham's descendants, he has a son, Isaac. He has Jacob, was his son, so his grandson, Jacob, who was known as Israel. God called him Israel, said a man that struggles with God. So that's that nation of Israel today, stem from Jacob. Well, Jacob has 12 sons, and so it kind of spreads out here. These 12 sons, the 12 tribes, and he had a daughter as well, but the 12 tribes of Israel grow into the nation of Israel, or the Hebrew people. And so as they grow, God says, I need to turn them into a nation. Rather than just being a family, a tribe, I'm going to save them through their cast-off son, Joseph. He goes into Egypt. It's a great story. I love that story. A lot of you know it, of course. Well, miraculously, he saves the entire people, but eventually, as they're in Egypt, they're sold into slavery through that process, and they're contained in Egypt through this entire time to grow. I kind of think of them as being put into the crucible, right? They're in there. God's refining them. He's growing them in numbers, but also in following him and in a unique culture that they're beginning to establish, but they want out of it. They want out of slavery. And so they're in there until they have, until Moses. So we see this period, they're in slavery, and then God has a plan to set them free. So through the miracles, we all know about Moses. You've seen his the miracles, the signs that he gave to Pharaoh to release them, the plagues. And they're out, they go into the wilderness, and God gives them the law. So Moses, at this point, writes down all of this history into the first start of the Old Testament. Up until then, we have only five people. There's five people from Moses to Adam. It's pretty amazing. That's something. Until I saw this timeline, I never really gathered that there was just five people that get you all the way back there. Over almost, was it 2,500 years? Only five people. That's pretty amazing how God did that, right? So what Moses had here, and they overlapped. At the end of the service, you can come up here. There's a cool little spot here that shows that right here, that connection, how long these people overlapped with each other. But Moses writes it down. He gives them the law. So we now have a people. They have the law, and they need the land. Well, Moses doesn't make it in. God said it's for Joshua to lead them in. So they're given the promised land. They go back to the land that Abraham was promised, and now there is a nation. They have a land. They conquer that nation, and they're living in that land. And so we see through that time period, they follow God, they fall away from God. They follow God, they come back. And so the Jewish people just keep doing that process. And in one of their falls, they ask for a king. And they say, let's have a king. We want it like all the other nations. To have this, they've got kings, we need a king. Well, God is their king, and he said, okay, I will give you a king, but you're going to get exactly what you ask for. And so Saul was their first king, didn't work out so well with him. The second was David, a man after God's own heart. And he was not perfect. He sinned. He fell away from God, but he asked in repentance, and he came back. He came back time and time again, and in fact, God honored him and said, you will sit on a throne that will never end, and it will be Jesus Christ, his descendant, direct bloodline from David. He would be blessed by that. In fact, his son Solomon came from the mother, Bathsheba, that David sinned with. And God honored that as he repented for that. Solomon, he ushered in a great kingdom there. They were blessed, riches beyond all imagination. He built the temple for God at that point. But as soon as he died, the kingdom splits in two, never really to return. And you have 10 tribes going off and forming Israel, and you have two, Judah and Benjamin, creating the nation of Judah. And so those two split, and they follow God, and they fall away, and they follow God, and they fall away. And finally, he takes that shepherd's staff, and he says, I'm going to give you guys a pretty good whack to correct you. And he wipes out that control of those first 10 tribes to the Assyrians. They go into exile here. So you can see on the chart, it shows them going into exile. And then a few years later, you have Judah also going into Babylon, getting conquered by the Babylonians. So at that point, they lose their independence. And on this chart, it says they were never to gather it again to this day in 1878. Think about that a minute. 1878 is when this was written. I don't think this chart is true anymore. We'll get to that. All right. So then we continue a little bit further. They're in captivity. You have the prophets speaking of the coming Messiah through this entire timeline. And the Old Testament ends right here. This is where it ends. And God goes silent. So they start preparing. They start to get to know their scriptures, because in that void, not hearing from the prophets anymore, they have to go back to the scripture. So the Old Testament that we know today closes here. And you got almost 400 years, almost 397 years before Christ. And of course, this is the extremely exciting moment in history, right? This is it. This is where history divides. This is where Christ comes, God with us. This is all known as BC. This is before Christ. But now Christ shows up, God with us, man, fully God, and he comes to fulfill all of this that was prophesied. It's split in two right here. This is now AD, the year of our Lord, in the year of our Lord. So we're living in that. Everything here is counting down to Christ, and now we're progressing on, waiting for his second coming. Well, of course, Jesus comes. Oh, and we have, thanks, the birth of Christ, God with us. And it says in John 1:1-5, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not understood it. He didn't start here, guys. He didn't start here. He spoke the world into existence here. It says, in the beginning, he was with God. He was with God back here, right? He spoke it in. He was working and weaving and prodding, and here's where he comes physically. Okay, he comes as God, man, here. How exciting that is. this at this point, right? Well, then we have the Old Testament written right here in about just over the lifespan of the Apostle John. So in less than 80 years, by AD 99, the New Testament is completed. And so as that completes, we now go into the church age. We're in the age of grace. He's ushered in the age of grace. We have the Holy Spirit with us. Imagine all of these people before Christ not having the Holy Spirit, not living in an age of grace. And now we do. What a blessed age we are. Well, let's get all the way here to the end. We'll see if the camera stays on here or not. I might be going off camera here. But you go all the way to the end. And we're actually out here. We're over another panel. 1878, that was pretty good. Got us close. But we live in an age of grace that we can look back on all of this history. How blessed we are to be able to see all this, to see God's plan, to see him now closing up his plan soon and very soon, waiting for the second coming. That's who we're looking forward to, is Christ coming back. And it says way back here, if we go back here to Isaiah, see where Isaiah is. It's all the way back here, right here. This was Isaiah was writing some prophecy here, and he says, Isaiah 66, 8. Mac, do you have that? Yeah. Do we have a mic here? We'll get that. And he's talking about Israel in this. Way back here. He's talking that this is before they go into exile, by the way. He's saying that they will go into exile, but eventually they will come back. Go ahead, Mike.
Who has ever heard of such things? Who has ever seen things like this? Can a country be born in a day, or a nation be brought forth in a moment?
Yes. How could that be? How could the nation of Israel be established in one day? In 1878, when this was written, they couldn't really fathom how that would work. But you know what? It happened. It happened in my grandparents' lifetime. It's already in the past now. We're looking back on that because on May 14th, 1948, Israel was established. They purchased the land of the Palestinians. They purchased that land after the Holocaust, and the United States declared and recognized they will be a nation. And they also recognized that the League of Nations recognized them. And so one day, May 14th, 1948, they were back in the land. They hadn't been in that land, guys, since, let's go all the way back here, even before Christ, right? That was back here at Solomon. This is when they did it. So that's happened. That prophecy's recently occurred. And that is one of the things that says needs to happen before the second coming of Christ. It's happened. He could be here any day, any moment. How exciting. All right, well, we've run the course of the timeline here. That's the overall view that we, in our class, like to go back to. Kind of know, okay, who are we studying this week? How do they fit into this? Okay. So that's the overlay of his story with our Bible, our canon, our straight stick of truth. We're about to wrap up here, so praise team, if you guys could kind of make your way up here. I know we got a little bit of distractions here. Maybe get around the side. I would like to leave this up just if you guys want to see it afterwards. We have another scriptures. They're coming up. Ephesians 2. Desmond, if you could come on up and read that. Quinn. Quinn.
For though him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit.
Thanks. Built on the foundation of the apostles. Oh, there we go. The foundation of the apostles, that's the New Testament. And the prophets, that's the Old Testament. With Jesus Christ, the Word, himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become the holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. This is sound doctrine. This is a solid building plan. You can see that plan laid out. It's solid, guys. 2 Timothy 4:3 through 5, Mac read this earlier at the start of the service. The time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myth. But you keep your head in all situations. Endure the hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. Guys, we need to know inside and out God's plan. We need to know his sound doctrine beginning to end. Keep reading his word. Keep studying his word. Keep zooming in and out on his scriptures in the greater context of his story. Keep building your house on the foundation of Christ. Listening to the Holy Spirit to keep you on that straight, true line. The more we get into his word, the more we can trust him. His word proves itself. As the world grows darker, as it's turning aside to myth, with the idols of self, the light of God's word will stand out even more in sharp contrast. It will. See if this works here. So, with all that distraction, I don't know if you guys can see it now. It's been there the whole time. That red laser line. And when we focus on him, you're going to see it easier and easier.